Satan's not too concerned about the bad churches. They're doing just fine in his sphere. But he wants to infiltrate the good churches with bad people, that we might be sidetracked from focusing on Jesus Christ. And indeed, we see this throughout Scripture, that there were false prophets in the Old Testament, and there will be false teachers now.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
And Greg, the title of your message today asks an important question that many of us struggle to find an adequate answer for.
And Dave, the title of today's message is, how can we keep from being ensnared by false teachers? And I find that many people have an inadequate answer to this question. And the reason they do is because we don't know the Word of God the way we should, and thus we don't know how to spot these evil men and imposters, which will certainly proceed from bad to worse. Okay, so how can we keep from being ensnared? Well, let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 13. And in this chapter, we're going to see that God will judge the false teachers, and within this, we will see how they operate, and that will help us spot them so that we can avoid them.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, we live in perilous times. You know, just look at the news. There's so much instability. There's, you know, even though it's not the tribulation, there are wars and rumors of wars. There's all kinds of difficulty, there's all kinds of trouble, and there are all kinds of threats. There are threats to our democracy, threats to our country, and we need to be praying for the Lord to save the leaders so that we might be able to lead a peaceful and quiet life. But not only are there threats to our country and to our way of life, there are threats to our walk with Jesus Christ. And those threats are actually more dangerous than the threats that we see to our nation, those threats. The threats that our enemy, Satan, and his cohorts might attempt to pull our hearts away from Jesus through sin, by being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, by following our own desires, whatever it might be. There are bad people out there in churches. There are certain people who have crept in unnoticed. They've snuck in like a roach at night, unnoticed, and they've crept in. We see Jude shares that, and that they turn the grace of God into a license to sin. We're seeing that. And I've read this earlier during our offertory time, but Paul said, he says, I know in Acts 20, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you. That's from the outside, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking twisted things or perverted things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, for remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. He was warning them it was going to happen. And the reality is, we have some good churches and we have some bad churches. And Satan's not too concerned about the bad churches. They're doing just fine in his sphere. But he wants to infiltrate the good churches with bad people, that we might be sidetracked from focusing on Jesus Christ. And indeed, we see this throughout Scripture, that there were false prophets in the Old Testament, and there will be false teachers now. So with that in mind, how can we keep from being ensnared by false teachers? I believe we're going to see this as we continue our study in the book of Ezekiel. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 13. And we have been studying this book, and it's clear that God is bringing his discipline upon the southern kingdom, Judah and Jerusalem, that they have rejected him, as did the northern kingdom who went into exile. They've rejected him. They've not listened to the prophets. They've killed the prophets. They've raised up their own, in a sense, to say, hey, it's not going to happen like God says, that this is what he says, but it's not what he says. They've raised up those who counteract and lessen and dull the message that one needs to turn from their sin, to be right with the Lord. And we see here that at this time the Lord allowed three deportations. We see that the first one took Daniel and his friends in 605 BC. That was by Nebuchadnezzar. And then in 597, Ezekiel was taken with 10,000 others. And then he began his ministry 5 years after that, as we saw in chapter 1. Then in 586 BC, Jerusalem was brutally sieged for 18 months. And at the end of that siege, the temple was destroyed, torn down, everything taken, and the walls were destroyed. The city was left desolate. The land was left desolate in God's fury and anger, which he predicted back in Deuteronomy, if they would not obey him, that this would happen to them. And so the book of Ezekiel is centered around this third and final 18-month siege of Jerusalem, by the way. The first 24 chapters are prophecies or oracles leading up to the siege. 25 through 32 are prophecies during that 18-month siege. That's when he's prophesying. And then in chapters 33 to 48 are prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem. Now, Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people. Remember, he's in Babylon. Jeremiah, he's in Jerusalem. Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people concerning their sin and the sin of those who are about to be judged by God, in which many will be killed and the remaining will be brutally taken captive to Babylon. And yet, as we saw and we have seen, they were still in grievous sin. They were unwilling to repent and they were listening to the false prophets and the evil voices of false assurance. Now, we saw in this book already Ezekiel's commission, and within that, the Lord on his throne coming from the north in the context of a storm, his judgment coming. The storm of judgment coming with the wheels and the cherubim, God executing things behind the scenes in the heavenlies to bring about his will. And we saw Ezekiel with his sermons, the siege sign and sign sermons, all pointing to the fact that God would bring his wrath upon Jerusalem. Very clear. And the reason for that were their idolatrous hearts. They were stuck in idolatry. They had broken the heart of the Lord. And God, being just and righteous, as he predicted, would bring an end to the inhabitants of the land. In chapter 8, in Ezekiel's second vision, we were taken on a tour of Israel's secret sins within the temple. A horrifying tour, wicked abominations happening within the temple. And in chapter 9, we saw God would in right fashion pour out his wrath on all who did not weep and groan over that sin and their sin. But yet within that, we saw God's graciousness, that there would be those who are marked for being spared because they do weep and groan over sin. And then in chapters 10 and 11, we saw from a heavenly viewpoint again God's wrath with the cherubim and the wheels, that judgment would come and God's glory departed the temple. And we saw the undeviating execution of his command in the heavenlies. And yet we saw within this that the rulers of Jerusalem would be judged, but yet within that we saw future hope for a remnant, that they would be given a new heart, that their sins would be forgiven, they would be gathered in the land, and God would save them. We saw that. And then we saw in the end of 11 that awful truth that God's glory departs from Jerusalem, that judgment is right around the corner. And then last week, we saw true signs pointing to true events which would take place. We saw the baggage sign where Ezekiel was to make baggage for exile, and then he was to go out with the baggage. And also he was to dig a hole in the wall and take his stuff out at night in the darkness, all pointing to the fact that these Jews would be sieged. And they would be sieged, and they would be taken into exile. And then we saw that the leader, the prince, Jehoiachin, the puppet king, that he would try to get away, but he wouldn't get away. That he would try to disguise himself and cover himself and leave at night, but yet he would be taken by the Babylonians and he would be blinded, his sons killed, and he would die in exile. And then we saw that the sayings, the evil sayings of the people would cease. You see, because God had not brought his judgment, because he's gracious. He's patient, unwilling for any to perish. And because he had not brought his judgment, the false prophets, as we'll see today, were bringing forth the evil sayings of peace and safety. And even the exiles were listening to these sayings, which pointed to a delay of God's judgment. But no, God said there would no longer be any delay, that he would act and bring forth and fulfill his word without delay. And that leads us to where we are today in chapter 13. Now, this isn't the whole part of it. We're going to see the reason, really, for the judgment of false teachers, and then we're going to see their judgment next time, Lord willing. Ezekiel chapter 13, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build the wall around the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope in the fulfillment of their word. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares? But it is not I who have spoken. Now we'll end there, but I want to read the next verse. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I'm against you, declares the Lord. Now, as we look at this judgment upon the false prophets of Israel, you might be thinking of the question, why does God allow them? Why doesn't God just wipe them out? Why doesn't he wipe them out so that we can follow the Lord unhindered? Why doesn't he do that? Well, we gain some insight into that in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Turn to Deuteronomy. Again, the Lord tells them in advance. Deuteronomy 13. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes true concerning what he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you've not known and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. He's saying, don't go from, he's testing to see where your heart's really at. I was thinking about this idea of God testing by false prophets, and you think about the millennium. There are going to be those who feign obedience to the Lord, and the minute Satan comes and deceives them, boy, they turn and you see who they really are. And so false prophets show people where their hearts are at. Now you say that's the Old Testament, and we live in a time without prophets, we have teachers. Well, in the New Testament, we see the same thing, basically. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see that Paul is telling Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For a time, 2 Timothy 4, 3, will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They can't sit under it, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and to myths. You see, in similar fashion, when man rejects the Lord and his word, when he can't endure it, he goes after what is false. That which is not from the Lord, but claims to be from the Lord. We see that when a religious man does that. So God allows false prophets, false teachers to show us where our relationship is with him. And when people are in bad churches, that's because that's where their heart is at. That's why when people come out of bad churches, they need to confess the sin, whether they knew it or not, or they're not going to change. So then, we see that here. So coming to our passage now, how can we keep from being ensnared? Well, first and primary, we have to see them from God's perspective. If we don't see the bad guys and gals from God's perspective, then we can get taken captive. We need to listen to what God says about them and follow his commands. Notice in our passage, Ezekiel's commanded to prophesy against the false prophets of Israel, who prophesy from their own inspiration. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, verse 1, chapter 13 of Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. So you say, okay, I understand that we have false prophets here and how to deal with them who are prophesying. Well, what about now? We don't have prophets. Well, some charismatic places have prophets. Well, you'll know immediately they're false. Okay? But what do we have? We have false teachers. You know, Peter shares in 2 Peter 2, verse 1, but false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. So then, this is very helpful in spotting what is false. So notice our passage begins with the word then, which points to the fact that this is a continuation of what we saw in the last chapter. Remember that Ezekiel was to act out, taking baggage into exile, digging a hole through the wall. These all portray the reality that Jerusalem would go into exile, and the puppet king Jehoiachin, the prince, would try to escape, but he would be blinded and eventually die in exile. And we saw the Lord speaking to Israel, a rebellious house, through Ezekiel by the famine sign, in which he used to eat his bread and drink his water with trembling and anxiety, pointing to that deadly famine that would come during the siege of Jerusalem, that 18-month siege. Then the Lord made it clear that the sayings, not of the people in Jerusalem, they were saying that stuff too, but of the exiles around Ezekiel, that they would cease. And why would they cease, these false sayings of false assurance? Because the Lord would speak and perform immediately what he said, there would no longer be any delay. You know, those sayings about God's not going to do anything immediately go away when God does something, right? Very clear. Chapter 12, verse 28, therefore say to them, thus says the Lord, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever word I speak will be performed, declares the Lord. And then we have then. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying. So the Lord had delayed this, and there were false prophets who took advantage of that delay. False prophets with their visions and flattering divination, as we'll say. And so our passage, the word of the Lord came to me, that's Ezekiel, saying, son of man, remember, Ezekiel is human being. You are dependent. You are made of dust. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy. Kind of an interesting thing. True prophet, prophesy against the false prophets, right? And he says here, and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. So then, we're going to see here, first of all, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. Remember, he was mute. He would not be able to speak anything except God's word. He is the opposite of these guys. He is speaking only God's word. The word of the Lord came to me saying, and they were to listen to the word of the Lord. They're prophesying against the prophets, first of all. Prophets of Israel who prophesy. And he clarifies, notice, and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration. The prophets of Israel prophesied from their own inspiration. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, we'll look at that in a minute. Now, the idea of prophecy, this term prophecy, speaks of bringing forth in its very basic word in Hebrew. It came to clearly speak of God's word being brought forth, a declaration from the Lord brought forth. And you see, prophecy is foretelling or forthtelling, but it is from God and not from man. It is God's word that the true prophets spoke when God revealed it to them. We see this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. You can turn there. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture, that's of the written words, prophecy that's been recorded in Scripture, is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy, in general here, from God, no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. True prophets were moved by the Spirit of God to speak the Word of God. But these false guys, they spoke, who prophesied back in our passage, from their own inspiration. The term inspiration here could be translated heart or mind. It's from their own hearts. They say they speak for the Lord, but they speak from their own hearts. Their prophecy is cloaked in falsehood as though it is God's word. But it comes from their own inspiration. So the Lord says to them, listen to the word of the Lord. The bad guys, listen to it. And Ezekiel's to prophesy against them. Listen to the word of the Lord. Again, Ezekiel, who was dumb and could not speak unless it's God's word, is to prophesy against those who prophesy from their own inspiration. And they are to listen to the word of the Lord. It's emphatic. These prophets were to listen to the word of the Lord. Okay, prophets, you say you're speaking for me, but it comes from your own wicked hearts. Your own inspiration. And here's what I have to say to you. Listen to the word of the Lord. This is an emphatic statement from the God of the universe to the wicked false prophets of Israel. Now, folks, we clearly see that God is against them. We're going to see that. He's clearly against them. And I don't know about you, but I want to be on God's side, not their side. I want to be on God's side. And as we'll see, God does not portray them in any way, shape, or form in a favorable light. And as we'll see next week, their doom is sure. Now, it's extremely important that we do not lean on our own understanding when dealing with those who claim to speak for God in churches as pastors, but yet speak from their own hearts. rather than from God's word. You see, many churches and many denominations claim to speak for the Lord, yet they don't preach God's word, they don't teach God's word, or they twist or pervert or omit and bring forth man's wisdom. That's from man's heart, that's from man's own heart, day in and day out. And unfortunately, people in their sin become endeared towards them. And when they notice things that are wrong, they try to deal with them through their own wisdom rather than by God's word. Now, we're going to see in our passage today how to spot them. We're going to see their character. You know, indeed, it's very interesting when things happen throughout the week, how they align with what I'm teaching on. We received a call from a radio listener, seemed like a good guy who spotted error in his church and he wanted advice. He was going to go to his pastor, and it's a Methodist church. He was going to go confront the pastor concerning the denomination, but in the same breath, he was complimenting the pastor, in effect, saying, he's a good guy. He just doesn't know that or understand it or get it. Folks, he's not a good guy. He's a Methodist pastor in a compromised denomination that says certain things are good when they are very evil, that twist the gospel. Speaks man's wisdom, and God is against him. And we better see that and stop trying to see things from our own perspective and our own feelings. My advice to this well-meaning yet naive brother is to get as far away from that church as he can. Don't even talk to them. You see, in 2 John, the Lord says this through John. Watch yourselves, verse 8, that you might not lose what we've accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, that's from the Word of God, says here, does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, that's from the Word of God, by the way, do not receive him in your house. Do not give him a greeting. That Methodist pastor is not your brother. Do not give him a greeting, for the one who does so participates in his evil deeds. Now, I'm picking on the Methodist because that's the example that came up, but there are a lot of dead denominations that have perverted doctrine and have taken away and lessened or changed or perverted the gospel. God has a lot to say about false prophets and teachers, and today we're going to gain insight into that so that we will not compromise within our own emotions because we're dealing with people that we might be endeared towards or whatever it might be, or be fooled by. So with that in mind, notice we see their character in a woe. Look at verse 3. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build the wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. They see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares?
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, we've just scratched the surface of these verses. What should we be looking forward to?
Well, Dave, as we've begun to see, the Lord is going to judge the false teachers. And within this, we see in Ezekiel here, he is exposing how they operate so that we can spot them and we can avoid them. And we can be, quite frankly, comforted that God has it under control, that these bad guys won't get away with anything.
Okay, again, we've just scratched the surface, so make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.